G'day everyone and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. It's the quick nine this week. We've got some big games and an even bigger story to discuss off the top. Let's get stuck in. My name's Chris Robinson, joined by Nick Rinn and Jackson Barrett, who've both been drug tested on the way in and good to go for the podcast. Gentlemen, how are we going?
Yeah, I'm good. So Jack Colvin's hammy was sore. That's why he's not in today.
Is
that right?
Don't even joke about that.
Wait, I missed that. Sore hammy? We've sent him to Melbourne. For those of us who are interested in a bit of country footy, a bit of local footy this weekend on stream, we've got the EDFL.
Great.
Ballarat Football Netball League, Goulburn Valley. So he's there doing his groundwork and chatting to a few people and getting in front of them.
Very
so
good.
So I sent him over, so I've swung back in.
Okay, so you've been brought in as our AFL drugs policy expert.
This is right. Yeah. All right, so we're going to get straight into it. And it's going to be not surprising to anyone who listens. I've only sort of skimmed it.
What's your vibe on it before we go to Jacko?
I've only sort of skimmed it. But Jacko is from the meth capital of Australia, Bunbury, so we figured give us the...
I'm very sure... Kalgoorlie took that title quite a number
Shout
of years
out
ago.
To all our regional listeners as well.
Didn't they test the water? I think this was actually a thing. Bunbury had the highest concentration of meth in the water.
Yeah, but they've done that test more than once. And okay. I'm confident that longer carries that title.
Okay, no worries.
But thanks.
All right, we'll go into it. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so this broke last night. So Andrew Wilkie, a federal MP, basically in an address to Parliament yesterday, raised the contents of a letter from a former Melbourne Football Club doctor. Mm-hmm. And it in it, he claims that he was authorised by the AFL to test Melbourne players who had confessed to taking illicit drugs in an effort to stop them playing, basically. Because if they were to play, they then under WADA in competition rules, and that obviously carries a ban where you pretty well start at 4 years and assess from there. So pretty heavy stuff. That was also signed by Sean Smith, the father of provisionally suspended Melbourne forward Joel. And then it was run first by the Herald Sun yesterday. We have it in today's West if you do want to read a little bit more. But it's fair to say it's moved a fair way since we went to print last night. So Simon Goodwin was the first to speak at his weekly press conferences. He said he had no idea about these testings. Well, yeah, feigned ignorance. But, I mean, also part of the whole concept of this stuff is that it doesn't get back to the coach. Mm. So that sort of medical information doesn't get back to coaches and executives and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a secret. The idea is that it's like a secret strike under the AFL's illicit drug policy if you were to test.
It's a phenomenal safety net for players.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that the one that we've been using in the office is, imagine if you were working FIFO for a mining company and you said, oh, I was on the gear on Monday night, and they said, oh, I reckon let's test you. Let's make sure that you've tested positive and then maybe take some sick leave.
Sick day.
Yeah. Stay in your donga. Probably don't drive a digger today, sort of thing.
So my question is, so obviously I saw bits of it last night and I was like, well, that's pretty big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then on reflection, is this not just the – because we knew from a long time ago that players could self-report and they get a strike and they kind of get away with it. Like this was baked into it for a long time. Like is this something different, do we think, or is this just like a new light on it?
I think it's a new light on it. That where the story's gone this morning is that the AFL has come out and said, yeah, we do.
They've leaned into it. Yeah. Yep.
They've leaned into it. They said it is a policy. We do it for the health and well-being of players. We don't want them training. We don't want them – we don't want them to be at risk of wider bans. So I think the whole cover-up behind it is where the story sort of goes.
I think that's the thing that would irk – footy fans, outside of all the drugs thing, is the cover up and then the fact that they're listed out as managed or something awareness, hamstring awareness or whatever.
Yep.
And heaven help whoever genuinely has to get managed this week.
Yeah, it's a tough week
when
to have hamstring awareness.
When the teams get released tomorrow, just
even if you're subbed as managed. Tactical subs now, we've got to think about them in a whole new light.
I think that's
my question out of it is, and I might be wrong, something might have changed along the way, but I remember back in the sort of Collingwood Rat Pack days, there was just self-reporting where you could self-report. And sort of you would sit out, but you would get a strike, but it just wouldn't become sort of public. And this sounds to me like looking at it from like taking a few steps back, looking at a different lens, it sounds to me like it's the same thing. Obviously, shocking when you table it and, you know, bring a new light on it. But I, that's my question with the whole thing. And the fact that the AFL was so quick to come out and say, yep, yes, that happens, it makes me think it's the same thing. Like, I feel like we've been here before, but it just, we have now more awareness of the process. Because we knew before they could self-report, they'd get a strike, they wouldn't play. But now it's like they go to this clinic, test positive, and then the way we get around it is say, yeah,
you'd like
this
to think
this.
It's the same thing.
I think you might be right, but now we know how brazen the process is. And the fact that Andrew Dillon's just said, we unapologetically do this. Mm. The whole thing's just brazen, right? Like, it just doesn't fly in any other workplace.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that don't fly in any other workplace.
It's a bit different.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like as shocked about the whole thing because I know that it happens. And if they cop the strike, they cop the strike, and that's the one down, right? Like, it's not like people are doing this every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is fair to say having that there would, I think it is fair to say it would embolden some players' attitudes too. Drugs, knowing that that safety net is there, right?
They do have a safety net, but then they don't get a match payment as well.
Well, yeah.
Unless if they're on matches.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. There's
but
a bit,
I don't
a
think
it.
When you're offered the opportunity to take drugs, I don't feel like your forward thinking is always there, right? There are consequences in every sense, whether it's I don't get a match payment this week or it's not the best for my health, or you know what I mean? Like, you're not forward thinking when you're saying yes to drugs.
Yeah, no, I know. But in terms of the consequences, my thinking is that it's a, like, you know, that's one strike out of three. You get three and you're cooked. Mm. Like, your career's in the toilet. Like, I think it's not, you know, they don't get away scot free. They miss a match and people don't know that they've missed a match for that reason. But I don't know that it's necessarily getting away with it scot free. I think it's just managing the process.
I think for players, it's a huge win. Your parents don't know. The public doesn't know, so your reputation is in no way tarnished. Your bosses don't know. If you were going to take drugs, would you rather the world knows or the world doesn't know?
Yeah, you'd rather the world doesn't know. But, like, you would, you know, like, you're still copying it. You'd rather the world doesn't know and you still don't have a strike to your name and your work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're still going towards, you know, you don't have any risk of your job security, which that does have risk to the job security. Not that, you know, there have been many three strikers along the journey, but it's not without consequences, if that makes sense. And yeah, if you're a younger player coming through and you miss out on your matches and everything, and then, like, stuff goes down really quickly, but, like, what's the alternate? Someone comes in and says, I made some bad choices on the weekend, or I don't know, Wednesday night, Wednesday, depending on when the game is, I made some bad choices, I've done this, I don't know how I'm going, I don't really want to run out there because I don't know. Like, what's the alternate? Out drugs. Like, you know what I mean?
What?
Like, how else out this week? Because I don't know what the other, like, what people want to happen. Like, what do you want to happen in this situation?
Just don't take drugs in the first place.
Well, yeah, I know, but people make mistakes, particularly young men. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, not always drugs, but people make bad choices.
Mm.
Like, I don't know what else do you want the consequence? What else do people want the consequence of that to be?
Mm,
it's an interesting lens on it.
Yeah. Like, what's the alternate? Like, yeah, if someone kind of made a bad choice, okay, here we go. You're on here, you've got a strike to your name, you're not playing this week, so you might miss out on payments or whatever, but you've got a strike. So you either learn from this or your career's in the toilet. Like, you got two more shots at it. Or out, he's taking drugs, everybody. This guy took drugs. He's out this week because he took drugs. We can't play him because we don't want him to get a suspension. Or play him, he gets busted by WADA and can't play for 4 years. Like, I don't know. What's the, yeah.
I think my view is three strikes too lenient, though, is the other question.
Especially with in-competition breaches. Like, if you're...
But is it an in-competition breach
should
if you don't
need,
compete?
Should it be the league's right or responsibility to stop a player taking that risk themselves? Or is that a risk at the player? Like, if you do drugs on a Wednesday night and you're playing on a Saturday afternoon, that's a risk that you're taking. And should the AFL be able to intervene, I just think you should be found to have breached the policy on the Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what's it like? So, okay, let's say you've got an employee who comes to you and says, yeah, look, I really stuffed up. If I go out there, I run the risk of not coming back for 4 years and my life's in the toilet. Do you either, like, you know, what's the Ross line? Challenge the behaviour. Support the person, challenge the behaviour.
Mm.
Or you just let them go, well, you stuffed up, mate, go for it.
I get the example, but I don't think in any other situation you can come to work in the first place on drugs or tell your employer that you've done drugs.
Yeah, but that's because it's not a consequence. You're telling me, like, there's no workplace in the country where someone's rocking up today after having a massive night last night.
Is this your way of saying you're doing this podcast?
But you know, I'm just saying it's not uncommon.
Yeah.
This is just a way. This is like a yes. They don't run the risk on the Saturday, but provided they still get the strike, like this is encouraging and honesty. And then you have to do the programs as well after you get the first strike, don't you? It's not just a straight.
Yeah.
And again, the rider on this is if this is what we're thinking it is. Like, if this is the same thing and you get the strike, you take the test, you get the strike, you have to do the programs. Like, I think that is a reasonable way of managing it because the world's not black and white.
It's not, but there are some things that you can do in your workplace that cross a line and you can either get supported and say, hey, we can work with you for the next time, but there are some things that you can do where it's just like, sorry, we can't support you for that.
Yeah, I know, but like...
So I think that's the question is where that line is.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
And is three strikes, is three different chances, as well as having this safety net, too lenient?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I guess that's the debate.
I think that's the debate. I'd be interested to see what people think. Yeah, like, that's sort of my question is what do people want to happen?
Yeah.
Someone comes in and says, I made an error.
Yeah.
I don't want to run this risk on the weekend. What do you want to do?
Well, there's still plenty more to be played out over the next few days and weeks, that's for sure.
And then see what their take on it is if it's the best player at their club also. Like, then it probably the lens changes a little bit there as well.
That's different.
Oh, well, you've got to support a person, you know? Yeah, support a person. Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the actual footy for the weekend. And it starts with an absolute pearler Thursday night footy. Brisbane Collingwood, both unbeaten, just as we all thought they would be heading into the round, what are we, round three? Actually, round four, whatever it is.
Is it round three?
It's officially round three, but this is already, the fourth game for Collingwood, and the third for Brisbane. What are we thinking, guys? Who's got more to lose here? Probably Collingwood, given they're 0-3 rather than 0-2.
Yeah.
And on the road. But we've seen so many times Collingwood go on the road and be bonded, backs against the wall, et cetera, et cetera. What's your read, Jacko?
Yeah, naturally, Collingwood have more to lose, but I felt it last week. Like, they're going to have a game in the next couple of weeks where Dugowie, Pendlebury, Dacos, Sidebottom, they all put their hand up and just say, this hasn't been good enough.
Dugowie can't be that bad again.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Dugowie is just kind of going to come out in the next couple of weeks and have a worldie. Yeah. I'm just waiting for a 35-3 from Dugowie, and for one of those
guys. Is that
guys,
your hardball bet for this
it's
week?
Not.
35-3 for Dugowie.
But for someone, we'll for someone like that, for someone like that, just to put Collingwood on their back and lift them to a victory.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of acceptance around Collingwood that they've sucked. Like, listening to Craig McRae, like, I don't feel like at any point over the last couple of weeks they've gone, the effort's not there. Like, the vision, the high five stuff is over the top analysis, but the defensive running has been poor. Like, Quainer and Moore and those guys have been caught out of position. Sides are waltzing through the middle of the ground. I've got a feeling about Collingwood. I reckon they're a big sniff here because I don't think Brisbane are going to tear them apart.
Yeah, I agree.
Like St Kilda and Sydney have. So, I mean, it's kind of even money. I find this really difficult to tip, maybe just leaning towards Brisbane because of the Gabba.
Mm. Yeah. Collingwood with the line, not a bad play. Rennie, you're also
line?
Brisbane. It's somewhere in the teens, 16, 18, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Very hard to read. I'll probably lean towards Brisbane. But things I'd like to see one of Rayner or Bailey at every centre.
Oh, shit.
Just a rare pro Cam Rayner.
No, he's not a pro Cam Rayner. Put him in there and make him do something.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
They need some bounce out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a guy.
That midfield's pretty. That was a takeaway for me in the loss to Freo. Pretty one pass.
Yeah. Lockie Neal coming back?
Neal helps. Yes.
And Duday.
Shout out to Tom Duday. Reset back. Unbelievable.
North Melbourne Carlton.
Friday night footy. Oh, sorry, this is Friday day footy, isn't it?
It
good
is.
Good Friday day footy, which would be good. I was about to say Ben McKay versus Harry McKay, but we're not going to get that chance because Ben's not there, obviously, and we still haven't seen them play against each other.
Mm.
Bizarre. How do you make the case for North here, Rennie, or can you not?
Well, I think the case here is... Oh, I probably can't make the case for North Melbourne, but Carlton should kill them. I'm still waiting. Like, Carlton need a big kill. They had the comeback against Brisbane, and then the Richmond one did not convince me because I think Richmond are terrible.
Yeah.
So Carlton, I want to see Carlton take a stand here, come out, smash them, because they should.
clearly there's Brisbane as well, but it'll be interesting case study over the next couple of weeks as to how these teams come back from early buys. Mm-hmm. Like we've been, that's been a watch for us for years on the middle of the year buys, but this is something different and interesting. So if they get done, it could, and you know, Brisbane are every chance of getting done, it could be an interesting watch over the next couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, you're right about Carlton. They've either left it late or they've been making habits out of digging a hole and then coming back. This just needs to be a foot on the throat. We're up by 40-odd at halftime, and it's just never in doubt.
Yeah, they got two of the best key forwards in the competition. Like, you should be able to kick a scorer against these guys. And I know they're probably, like, the talent at their feet isn't at the level. Like, they're good role players, but there's no superstars down there, I wouldn't say. But you should still be able to just, foot on the throat and kill these guys off. And they've had Plark, North Melbourne, but, again, they're like it's kind of easy to wear them out, I suppose.
Yeah. On a related note, Cam Zerha offered a 5-year deal, was reported this morning.
From where?
From North Melbourne to stay.
Oh, from North Melbourne.
That's a restricted free agent.
He was good in the middle. I like Cam Zerha in the middle.
Yeah. I've always liked Cam Zerha.
Is he going to stay, though?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so.
How has he not signed that deal yet? That's a bit of a worry if you're a North Melbourne fan.
Sydney was one of the ones reported, right?
Yeah, Sydney. It'd be interesting to see what that deal's worth as well, because they're going to have a lot of guys to pay in 5 years' time.
Oh, Sydney.
Or in 3 years' time,
North,
in the back
North,
end of that Zerha deal.
Probably North, very heavily fronted.
Yeah,
totally. The second leg of the Friday doubleheader, Freo. Friday night footy in the West. Thank goodness for that.
Friday night Freo.
I wrote about this earlier in the week. You know, Nat Fife has never played a Friday night footy game in WA since he won his first Brownlow. Forget about the second Brownlow. He hasn't played one since 2015.
Was he a late out or got injured that week, the one
he got injured,
year?
One of them. Freo's only played four. He's missed all of them. So it's phenomenal that the dual Brownlow medalist has never played as a Brownlow medalist on the biggest stage in WA. Dockers a chance to get to go to 3-0. Jacko, your boys?
Yeah, big sniff. I liked what Zave was talking about the starting with the green light. I think they needed, and a little bit like you were talking about with Brisbane, maybe Freo need to spice things up early. Maybe it's a Switkowski or just something a little bit different to start. I'd like to see, obviously green light straight away. I hated Adelaide on Friday night against Geelong. They were relying on guys head of the ball, giving them a contest, taking big clunks, and it wasn't on offer, and they stuck to that even when there were opportunities to potentially come through the middle and take the game on late.
And they're the same boat I was talking about Brisbane earlier. You want one of Rankin or Rochelle to start at every centre bounce. One of them.
Yeah.
Because, you can't have Laird and Crouch just doing what they do because they're two same.
Yeah. And you can we like Jordan Dawson, but you can kind of throw him in there as well.
Yeah.
I think they need...
Jordan Dawson? What do you mean throw him in there? He's made his game to crazy per possession.
I think they need someone in there that's going to attract the attention of someone like a Hayden Young.
I know his numbers were big, but it felt like he was a bit preoccupied with danger last week. And there's obviously a good reason for that.
That last quarter, I had a close eye on Jordan Dawson and Tom Stewart for fantasy reasons.
Oh, right.
And they genuinely just kicked the footy to each other for the entire last quarter, which was great for me.
Strong.
It was like +6, +6, +6. It was epic. But when you sit back and go like, that's not really what you want your inverted commas best midfielder doing it.
What do you mean inverted commas? He is their best midfielder.
Yeah, he was not great on the weekend. It was a numbers game.
Why do you hate Jordan Dawson?
I love Jordan Dawson. He's my
take. We all taking Freo?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cash it at home.
3-0. God, that's exciting.
3-0 for just the third time ever if they do it. 2015 and 2010. Those are the only other two. Saturday, Essendon and St Kilda. So no Peter Wright at one end and no Max King at the other end. I'm excited to see the Saints at Marvel for the first time this year, given they could just rev that speed up to 100. Obviously, Liam Henry's not going to be there, but some of the pace that we saw against the Pies under the dome at Marvel, they're obviously favourites here, and then they've got Richmond next week as well, which they'll be favourites for too, so they can go to 3-1 and really set up their season. Mm.
Yeah, I'm red hot on the Saints at the moment. I was cool on them coming in, but they've shown kind of that things we expected them to be good at, they've been really, really good at. Like this outside run and that sort of thing. Wangan and Miller are. Windhager was really, really good on the weekend. So I think they're a pretty exciting prospect at the moment. St Kilda. Henry hurts.
Is Max King out? Did he get it done?
Yeah, King out.
That hurts,
but it's not the end of the world. It's Essendon. Yeah, again, this is the same sort of Carlton bucket. I expect Saints to kill them. There's a few games this weekend where I just expect one side to kill the other. So we'll wait and see. But Saints should kill them. Saints look like a good footy side.
So Mackay gets Membry. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's kind of like even like a Cooper Sharman is not easy to match up on. Good in the air.
Mitch Owens,
guys like that. Anthony Caminiti kicked goals in the twos. I wonder if he's someone that they potentially come in to try and stretch that Essendon back line.
Yeah, that is one of the roughest debuts. So this wasn't last week. This was round one, but the Lance Collard debut has a sub, have one touch, and then get dropped.
Well, he played as a deep forward.
Yeah, well, like what is happening? Yeah. What are you doing with this kid?
I guess we didn't see a single disposal
from you that we liked.
But also, like, was picked well ahead. I didn't expect him to come to the back end of the year. Like, he hadn't played any senior footy, and it's like, he's in. Oh,
he
beauty.
It felt ahead of time. Okay. That preseason game against North, he was pretty impressive. I reckon he kind of won his spot there
and then lost it straight away. So everyone with the Saints there?
Yeah.
Port Adelaide host Melbourne. This is taking away Brisbane Collingwood. Yeah, this is just about the game of the round other than Thursday night. Getting a little bit worried about Melbourne's defence now. So obviously no May, Bowie's not there, Lever might not be there. It's kind of been the cornerstone of what they've been good at, the D's, but just starting to...
You're not saying they're managed, are
you? Sorry.
None of those are managed?
No, none of those are managed.
Good to know.
And a big test for Port. Shout out to our friend Jake Colvin, who'll be very excited about this matchup. But they've kind of done what they've needed to do in unconvincing fashion the first 2 weeks. Yeah. This one is
the unconvincing fashion. Like, I'll be interested to watch this because I haven't really honestly had a good look at Port yet. I've seen bits and pieces, but not like any substantial amounts of games. So, but yeah, I've seen a bit of Melbourne and I'm not super impressed.
They've let teams slice them up, like Bolton.
When he got hot,
When he got hot, they've sort of offered up teams to the corridor at times because they go so quick, which is great. We love that. I don't think Melbourne's a team, particularly without Lever and May, to take into set marks and set that sort of thing up off half back. I don't think Melbourne do that. So it'll be about Melbourne needing to win the contest by a lot.
Which they can do,
but you got Rosie and Butters and...
Yeah, so I think the game was pretty good last week.
Shout out to Will and Drew.
Does Will and Drew maybe go to like a Clary or someone?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where the game's won or lost. A mid-90s Queensland State of Origin player. He's just like a nuggety redhead sort of dude. Just gets the job done.
Shout out to Kane Farrell. I love guys with just like massive legs, like Farrell, Callum Brown. They're in my club. Yeah. They're my boys.
Farrell on one side and Houston on the other side.
Just whacks it.
Not nothing. Anyone prepared? Prepared to take the D's here? Or are we all happy with Port?
Port at home.
Me too. Sunday, Dogs, Eagles.
This is the next one. Can we just...
Yeah.
Do we have to do this one?
Do we have to do this one?
Yeah.
Mate, the Eagles beat him last year.
Yeah.
This is the matchup late last year where one of the most inexplicable results of the year. West Coast, who didn't want to... Well, they got off the bottom and then North Melbourne got him off the bottom again. Surely not again, right?
You wouldn't think so. Where is it? Marvel?
It's at the Dome, yeah. Yeah.
It's the Dome. Telstra Dome.
The Dome. Yeah. Colonial Stadium. Just heading back to Colonial.
Yeah, there's not much.
I don't think we have to spend too much time worrying about this one.
But again, the Bulldogs, like, you would think they would smack them, but you don't. You probably have less confidence in the Bulldogs than you do in a lot of other sides. But regardless, it's not going to be a game that's going to be one that you plonk yourself on the couch with. Is that Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah. 10 a.m. start, so
still,
just wrap up
doing a hunt.
Egg hunt
early. Yeah, just let the hunt roll a bit.
The Jaden.
Yeah.
Just picture you at home with the kids. They're like, Dad, I'm bored. Can we go inside and watch the footy? No, we're not watching the footy. We're doing more hunting.
We're not watching West Coast. Go find them.
I think the Dogs kind of figured out their intercepting game a little bit with, like, people have been calling for, David King's been calling for Aaron Norton to go back for about 5 years, but Karmas looked pretty good down there. Yeah, and then Ed Richards and even Tim English had 4 intercept marks each. Mm-hmm. There was someone else that had quite a few. Liam Jones was among their best. So I think that sort of scares me from a West Coast point of view, because that was always where you beat the Dogs, right? Like going inside 50 and that kind of terrifies me from a West Coast point of view. I reckon that could be a smoking.
Yeah, it could get ugly.
Yeah. That wasn't 2 minutes, was it, Josh?
just a minute 55. Just cutting it short.
Bullet the whole game.
What's next? Richmond, Sydney. Two teams in very opposite directions to start the season. Yeah, Swans haven't lost. Richmond haven't won.
Sydney should smoke them.
Sydney should smoke them? Is that the whole 2 minutes?
That's the 2 minutes. Richmond, it's the... But we know... Well, I don't know. We know where Richmond are at. I get the sense that, like, there's still a lot of
Richmond
people
haven't known Richmond where Richmond are at
no.
for quite some time.
My concern with Richmond that's starting to mount, seeing that injury toll growing now, and this is very, as you guys have talked about on Monday's podcast for a while now, potentially West Coast areas, but giving them the out where it's kind of like, oh, well, these guys are out, our injury toll is massive, and it can kind of distort where you're at, maybe.
The story with Richmond for the last 2 years is that, yeah, you can convince yourself almost every week.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Baker's been good. Like, if Hopper and Taranto just figure it out. Like,
when
if
Prestia Lynch comes back, but then he,
if Lynch kicks off at 3 foot, like, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Interested in this from Sydney when they cross this bridge. Adams, Parker, Mills. Where do they all fit in this midfield? And I was doing a bit, I was thinking about this. It'll be my column this afternoon, but. Do, like, good sides, think like Daniel Rich at Brisbane last year and guys like that, good sides, when they have this, like, surge or that bounce back sort of thing where they're good ahead of time, they drop off guys off the back.
Taylor Adams could be one of those.
I reckon Taylor Adams is going to be the guy that drops off the back. And then it's like, is Luke Parker, I mean, Luke Parker's an excellent player, but is he your full-time midfielder? Does he end up in a rotation with Heaney where he's, like, playing a half forward and they need to repurpose him? Can you use Callum Mills somewhere else maybe? Because he can play
everywhere.
You can
definitely use Mills somewhere else. Yeah. I think Parker's still full-time in that midfield.
Parker can play forward if you need him to, though. Like, he's shown he can take a good one-on-one mark.
But Heaney doing that. I think he's got 28 out of 30 possible coaches' votes through his first three.
Yeah. Taylor Adams playing the VFL. Slight segue to one of my biggest bugbears in footy, the fact that that competition is called the VFL. So the fallacy got even worse this year when they named a Big V state side where, like, 8 people play for Southport and, like, five Sydney sides playing for the Big V.
That should definitely be limited to Victorian clubs.
East Coast football, ECFL, whatever you want to call it. It's not the VFL. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Don't apologise.
That's my rant for this week.
That's my rant for this week.
Brought to you by the VFL.
If I'm playing a Southport, you're going to play for the Big Vs. Please, spare me.
Yeah, it's very confusing. And the last game of the round, Easter Monday, Hawthorn and Geelong. Isn't quite the spicy matchup on paper that it certainly used to be. Dangerfield's not there. Tom Atkins, possibly Tanner Broome come back just to bolster that midfield. Mitch Duncan will be back as well. So hard to make a case for Hawthorn given what we saw last week, all right?
Yeah. Can they find a way around Tom Stewart? Probably not. Oof. And interesting Chris Scott comments where he's like, there are guys in this competition where you know what they do to you and you know they do it well and you know that they're going to hurt you.
You prepare for it.
And you prepare for it, but how do you actually stop it? I mean, he's obviously talking about his own player, so that sort of sways a little bit. But
I guess so. But you just stick a guy next to him, don't you?
Yeah. No, they tried that on the weekend. Didn't they try that earlier in their release?
They tried it with
Stick
Pedlar.
A better guy next to him.
Yeah.
Stick a better. How's Pedlar with Taylor Walker in an acre of space? He's going to vomit into a pocket. Yeah.
Dex is not happy about it.
Sorry?
Yeah.
I think you do, as a default, need to start someone on Tom Stewart.
You absolutely have to. It's the old Bill Belichick. It's just like, we'll take away your plan A. If you can beat us with plan B and C and D, that's great, but we're not letting you win this way.
The other thing
just
is,
can't happen.
Hawthorn have built this forward line where it's like, if the ball hits the deck, they actually have potential to be pretty dangerous. Yeah. Like, Ginnivan's been great. Yeah. You've seen little bits from Nick Watson if he can start kicking straight. But like 1-6 or something, 1-5. But if Tom Stewart has a day out, the ball won't hit the deck and it won't matter. So I think that's priority number one.
And it just pings back fast the other way. Okay, so everyone happy with Geelong?
I just wrote Geelong, smoke them.
That's the analysis. That's great. All right, well, now it's time for a little bit of...
Hardball Bets, brought to you by Tap Touch.
And I managed to have a win last week, which is very exciting. Just took GWS straight up. I totally thought halfway through that last quarter, because I had him 40 plus and West Coast had nudged it back to sort of 52, 51. I was like, oh, they're totally kicking two late goals just to screw me here.
Yep.
I'll try and keep rolling. So I'll take Port Adelaide to win straight up, Sydney to win straight up, and Carlton by 15 plus, as we talked about, hopefully just putting the foot down against the Roos a little bit. That's paying 270.
Jacko, what have you got?
Sorry?
The line, do you say 15?
Only 15. That's how much I trust Carlton.
Oh, jeez.
Just a little bit. I could totally see them just easing to like a 21-point win. Yeah.
I'm taking a leaf out of both of your books. Rob, I'm going to go just the one leg to try and get myself off the mark.
Yep.
And Rennie, I'm leaning into the they'll just smoke him mantra. I'm taking Sydney at the line. It's a 21.5 line against Richmond.
Yeah, seems a little low.
Oh, bonus bet. I've just taken some of the... Well, no, I've added one close to one and then two of the smoke him categories, and I'm going to bundle them together. So 3-0 minus 10.5, Sydney minus 21.5, and Geelong minus 18.5, which that was the one that surprised me. Bundle that up, that's $6.86.
Okay.
To throw at the stumps.
Try and keep the bonus bets goodness rolling. Jake let us down last week. He had to go 20 plus.
Hit the week before, didn't you?
Yeah, hit the week before. So
that's two out of three. It's going to be a big three out of four.
Ain't bad.
Ain't bad, famously.
And remember, chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. We've got to get out of here. Rinny, Jacko, thanks very much for your time. To our listeners, thank you for your companionship. We'll see you next week.